Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/privatewealth. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Varin, Senior Vice President of Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
I want to focus our conversation today on interest rates and the impact they're having on the commercial real estate market. We've seen high interest rates. The Fed has been reluctant to drop them, although we're hoping that might happen at some point this year. Talk to us about the capital crunch that has been the reaction to this, has been the effect of these high rates.
I mean, the ripple effect that the high interest rates have had is continuing to push out from just that, you know, let's call it the drop in the water when, actually it's called a massive boulder hitting the water when the Fed decided to start really pushing rates aggressively last year. You know, it has a huge effect on all of commercial real estate. It just doesn't affect how much a borrower is paying in terms of interest. It also affects how much they can borrow. You know, on a lot of our deals in particular, you know, we usually have a cash flow component and a loan to value component, and we're okay. Relatively speaking, values are holding up. There's not a lot of trades, so it's really difficult to see how much is being affected by the loan to value, although there still seems to be enough trades to kind of get comparable cap rates and we're able to see where values stand. But, you know, there's a debt service, a cash flow component with increased rates. It's really hard for the cash flow of any particular property to be able to satisfy those debt service coverage ratio covenants or requirements ratios. So as the interest rates move up, unfortunately, the leverage is pushed down to be able to account for relatively stable cash flow, right? Where in certain instances, you don't have the rent appreciation or rent growth to be able to absorb the hit that you're taking with the higher interest rates.
Yeah.
So with the Fed continuing to keep these rates higher, it's just becoming more and more difficult for my borrowers to be able to borrow, you know, the funds they want. And also, I mean, with the scarcity of transactions now, it's making equity a little less readily available also. So whereas if borrowers are having to put in extra money, they'll have to find that, you know, equity from other sources. And that equity is getting more expensive and a little more scarce now, too, because I think equity is being very cautious of where they're putting money in what deals. So, you know, the interest rates are having a huge effect. And, you know, I was very hopeful that we would start to see a few more cuts already this year. But apparently the numbers just don't bear that out. But hopefully we'll still get one in September, hopefully one in December. You know, if we can get 50 basis points relief, I think that'd be a huge sigh of relief for a lot of borrowers. And I think, you know, personally, I think it would open up a lot more transactions. You know, people would be a little more willing and able to start to transact a little bit with maybe 50 basis points of relief on interest rates.
Yeah, I want to dig into this a little bit. You talked a little bit about the rental aspect of this. Is the commercial real estate market that's impacted by this mostly landlords who are renting to secondary parties? Like I'm thinking apartments here, or is it commercial? Is it business, office, and industrial? All of it?
Well, I think it's all of it, right? So, I mean, regardless, if you're a small business owner and you need to buy a piece of equipment or inventory, whatever it is, you're getting hit by those higher interest rates. But in my world, yeah, I mean, it's just landlords that have to deal with paying those higher rates. I mean, it's really hard to push rents to be able to accommodate. You know, like if we have an issue with taxes, right, certain industries or certain asset classes are typically triple net leases where they can pass those higher taxes or higher operating costs on to their tenants. You don't have that luxury, I guess, with higher interest rates because, you know, you're not going to get the benefit of being able to pass off your higher borrowing costs on your tenants. I mean, you can only push rents so much before tenants start to say, especially in a world like multifamily where you have 12-month leases, you know, you're going to get to that 12 month, and, you know, if your rent is going to double you're going to go find somewhere else to live that's not going to cost you twice as much. So that's kind of the hard part of, how a landlord can really absorb the increase in interest rates. And maybe if you're rolling off a fixed rate deal, and you're going to, you're coming off a fixed rate deal at 3.25% or 3.5%, to refinance now at 8%, that's a substantial hit, and one that you're probably going to have to put in some additional equity. You're going to have to find some outside equity to come in to possibly reduce the amount of your debt. So it is going to affect a lot of people, especially with loans or leases that are maturing, because there's going to be a bit of a reckoning to find out, if you're rolling off of a fixed rate deal, you're coming into a much higher rate environment. And simply if you're, renewing or extending or coming off of a floating rate mortgage now, if your loan's maturing, you're already used to that, but you're going to have to continue, and hopefully the cash flow is in place to be able to extend that. Extend the loan for a couple more years.
Dan, and some of the impacts of this, the more negative impacts of this, I've seen a couple of headlines recently where owners have been forced into sales and lenders have disposed of the assets that they've acquired through foreclosure, foreclosure being one of the things that I've been seeing a lot more of. Talk to us a little bit about this. Are there more of those situations happening?
Yeah, I think this is kind of an ugly phenomenon of, the ripple of effect of the not just interest rates, but also, undesirability of downtown office. I mean, I don't think there's been a arm's length, non-distressed sale of office in, I would think, at least 3 to 4 years. That's the ugly part of the life we're in, right? We have this kind of confluence of negative effects that are affecting our world right now. We have, our commercial real estate world, with remote work being kind of commonplace, people shedding office space, people don't need as much office space, even though they still do need some space. Throw on the high interest rates, it's just a second punch to the gut that a lot of landlords can't really deal with. I think this will, I guess, continue my theme of the ripple effect, right? Because if these office buildings are trading for substantially less than what they did or even were valued as of, last year, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, it's going to have a horrible, lasting effect on taxes. I mean, right, if a building downtown was valued at $500 million and now it's valued at $250 million, there's going to be a substantially less amount of tax revenue generated because the value just isn't there on these buildings. So I've seen some headlines recently about, I think Fitzkegy is reassessing. I think that he's just issued the West Township real estate tax bills for, kind of the area west of the Loop. And I think there's a lot of people are trying to decide what's going to happen with the downtown, with the central business district. But if it's any if the West Loop area is emblematic of the rest of the downtown area, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for Fitzkegy to reassess how he's running his tax evaluations. I mean, I was reading that he's not taking into account these distressed sales, and I understand that you can't really take into account distressed sales, but there is no other trading, so it's really hard to put a value on buildings if buildings aren't trading, and if vacancies are increasing and borrowing costs are substantially higher. It's just going to be a really painful outcome if the tax bills start to rack up and start to ratchet up. It's going to be a long road ahead for office landlords.
Yeah, and the situation with the remote work seems to be like maybe we might be heading to some sort of climax point on that as well. In New York City, there's still 50% of people are not coming to the office. I think that number is a little bit higher, but not much here in Chicago. I mean, at some point, do these companies start mandating that people come back to the office? Is that the other side of the coin here?
I think some companies already have. They have mandated that people return to the office. But, I think there's a value to remote work, right? Some, not all employees are essential to be in person. I think for some companies, it could be beneficial, right? It's you can trim your office space, you can reduce that huge cost of overhead of your rent every month if you can reduce your office, you know, footprint. But it's at the detriment of the local commercial real estate market, and those office landlords are having to deal with, less occupancy in their buildings. But I think, you know, people being in the office, I mean, really, it's just industry and company dependent. If they feel their workers need to be in the office X number of days a week to be successful, then so be it. But I think if other companies can realize their companies are, and, you know, their people are working just as efficiently just as well being remote a portion of the week, then they're able to reduce that office footprint and kind of realize the savings for their business. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but it's definitely something that, you know, obviously a lot of businesses have been reviewing this probably pretty consistently for the last 4 years. And I think the office market still hasn't completely shaken out, right? I mean, it's only been a little over four years since the pandemic and the remote work start, but as these office leases start to mature, start to roll, then we'll start to see what the true effect is as these leases are signed and possibly for smaller square footages and, you know, the vacancy continues to pile up.
Yeah. It's not all bad news. I want to get in a little bit of good news here, and this comes from Schomburg, Wheels Incorporated, a fleet management and mobility solutions company, has signed a lease for quite a bit of a big part of the Zurich North America building in Schomburg. So that's good news. When office vacancies have been high, they're actually filling some in the suburbs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge win for that Zurich building. I think they put that office space up for sublease. They're still staying in a portion of it. I think it's almost 800,000 square foot building. So if you can get a sublease tenant to take almost a quarter of your building, that's an enormous win. I mean, I think you're in a great location there. You're in a beautiful building. You're right off the Jane Addams Tollway. I mean, there's a lot going on, you know, in Schomburg, in and around Schomburg, that is really a big draw for office tenants. And I think this Wheels really took advantage of probably, I would guess, a very beneficial rent for a quality office space like this. I mean, I guess you'd consider this kind of a Class A space in the northwest suburbs. And there's probably not much competing with a building of this caliber. So if a company looking to move into an area that has a lot of area amenities like Schomburg does, I think this is a win for, you know, the employees of Wheels and the landlord for Zurich to be able to backfill a quarter of their space.
Dan, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Feel free to email me, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com, or my phone, 312-544-4657.
All right, Dan, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.